Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be continuing on with a series called By Candlelight They Suffer by Jarrett. This will be part number 3. So I hope you're enjoying this series so far. And if you haven't listened to the first couple parts, then go do so. And a huge shout out to my patrons first and foremost for making this episode possible. Let's get started. Maddie knew. She always knew. She'd seen how Jordan, one of her best friends, had slobbered all over her boyfriend, and apparently one night hadn't been enough for both of them. The thought made her want to vomit. She screamed at the road ahead, her vision blurred by the tears that cascaded down her cheeks in ugly, mascara-tinted rivers. She thought about calling the guy and breaking up with him right now, but she couldn't. She knew herself well enough to know that she was too emotional. Maddie inhaled sharply, whimpered, and wiped beneath her eyes with the heel of her palm. The worst part was how Jordan and Drake had both played dumb. Like she was stupid. Like she hadn't seen Jordan disappear into Drake's car after practice with her own two eyes. Like she hadn't watched the BMW bounce up and down while she sat frozen in her Mercedes. Maddie's stomach twisted violently. Jordan had cried to her before about boys using her, about feeling ugly, about feeling unwanted. Maddie had listened. Maddie had defended her. God, she practically built Jordan from the ground up socially, dragging her to parties and lunch tables and school events until people finally started treating her like she was a legit sidekick. And this was how Jordan repaid her? By sneaking around behind her back with Drake like some desperate little groupie. A fresh wave of nausea rolled over her. No, not like. That's exactly what the bitch was. Maddie's manicured nails dug indents into the steering wheel as another car passed in the opposite lane. The humiliation burned hotter than the heartbreak. That was the part she couldn't escape. Somewhere out there, Drake and Jordan were probably laughing at her together. Maybe Chloe knew too. Maybe everybody knew. Maybe Patterson High was already buzzing with whispers and smirks behind her back, while she walked around pretending everything was normal. No, that couldn't happen. Maddie Pemberton did not get cheated on. She did not get embarrassed. People envied her. People wanted to be her. And if Jordan thought she could crawl into Maddie's life like a grubby little maggot, take what belonged to her, and walk away smiling? Jordan Halstead was about to learn just how cruel Maddie Pemberton could be. Jordan stared absent-mindedly out the windshield towards the football field in the distance and picked at a loose thread on her soccer shorts. What's Maddie's problem lately? Drake adjusted himself in the driver's seat and turned down the volume to his Spotify. What do you mean?
Oh, come on. She's your girlfriend. You gotta know something's up with her. She's acting...
Jordan searched for the word.
Just totally weird.
Girls are always weird.
Jordan groaned. Oh my God, stop saying that. You mean to tell me you haven't heard her say or do anything?
He shrugged. Not really. I haven't seen her today.
You seriously don't think that's weird?
No, sometimes we get busy.
Well, she barely talks to me anymore. She blew up at me in the bathroom this morning, and now Chloe's suddenly attached to her hip 24/7. And every time I say something, Maddie looks at me like she wants me dead. What gives?
Drake forced a shrug.
Maybe she's stressed. About what?
I don't know, student council stuff? School?
It's not just that. Something happened. Do you think...
Jordan trailed off.
Think what? She couldn't possibly... know about us, right?
Drake suddenly became very interested in adjusting the air conditioning. Jordan narrowed her eyes.
Right? What? No, quit looking at me like that. I didn't say anything to her. Then why are you acting weird?
I'm not.
You literally are.
Drake laughed nervously and rubbed the back of his neck.
Jordan, I swear, girls would do this all the time. One day you're best friends, the next day one of you is crying in a bathroom. You guys never make any sense.
The worst part was that he wasn't sure what Maddie knew. She hadn't accused him of anything directly.
Just that weird text earlier. He checked his phone again, still left unread. Still that heartbroken emoji message. Then it hit him. He tried his best to hide the shock and panic welling up inside him. No, he couldn't clue Jordan in that Maddie knew. She'd fold up and spill everything to save herself. His reputation would crumble. How Maddie knew, he had no idea. That didn't matter right now. Keep cool. Keep cool. He took a deep breath and exhaled, with Jordan still rambling to herself, waving her hands and arms around in broad, sweeping gestures. Jordan suddenly sat forward. Wait. Her eyes narrowed suspiciously. You don't think Chloe saw us, do you? A pulse of panic shot through Jake's chest. Staving off panic, he scoffed. Jordan, relax. You don't think Chloe saw something because... And I'm just guessing, but maybe Maddie suspected because you were hanging out after school too long, and she sends her new second-in-command to spy on us? Why would Maddie suspect anything between us? Besides, you said it yourself. It doesn't mean anything. I don't know, Jordan snapped, but quickly lowered her tone. You've been at this for what? A year now? Like, I'm not proud of it, okay? I screwed up my knee, and it's been killing me, and weed helps me play and feel better. Physical therapy didn't do anything, you know? And here I am, team captain, and we're competing for a state championship, and I don't want to let them down. I mean, that's not so bad, right? Hell, anyone would do it in my position, right? Drake opened his mouth to reply. Shut it. Then don't put it again. Yeah, I would. Jordan scoffed. If Maddie thought something was going on, she might literally try to kill me. Or you. Drake forced a grin. Good thing nothing's going on, then. Jordan shot him a dirty look, her hand springing for the door handle. Douchebag. With that, she stomped out of the car and slammed the door shut. Thanks for driving me home, Brooke said as she leaned into the open passenger window of Jade's ancient Toyota Corolla. Hey, don't mention it, Jade said. So, about earlier, Brooke began, her gaze darting. Oh, don't tell me you're still thinking about that candle thing. Brooke nodded and stared into Jade's eyes. Yeah, I am. It was like cool and everything, sure, but is Chloe going to be okay? Why are you so worried about Chloe? I thought you hated her. I do, I guess. She'll have a whirlwind of a day. You'll see. Nothing she doesn't deserve. Hey, you might actually like it. Sorry, I guess I just overthink things. If you're gonna do that, bring some popcorn. Brooke smiled and rolled her eyes. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow. With that, she turned and began strolling away. Jade called out from the car. Hey, wait up. Brooke returned and leaned back in the window. What's up? If you're feeling weird about this whole thing, just remember, Chloe Collins thought so little of you that she peered at you in a bathroom stall and gave you a dollar because she hates how little money your dad has. Think about that. Brooke's face dropped despondently. Down the street, a dog barked once before going quiet again. Brooke, Jade said softer now, leaning over the center console. Girls like Chloe don't lose sleep over people like us. She humiliated you for fun. Not because you did anything wrong, but because she thought it was funny. Brooke swallowed. I know. No, you don't, Jade replied. You still think if you're nice enough, people like that will eventually wake up one day and feel bad. They don't. They never do. The words felt heavy in Brooke's chest because part of her knew Jade was right. Brooke shifted from one foot to the other. Still, I don't want something horrible to happen. Jade tilted her head slightly. That's because you're a good person, but personally, she shifted the Corolla into gear. I hope she comes to school wearing dingy sweatpants. This seemed to allay Brooke's fear because a laugh escaped her. Jade pointed at her. See, there she is. Oh my God, shut up. You enjoyed that. I did not. Liar, you laughed. Brooke stepped away from the car, smiling despite herself. Jade pulled away from the curb with a coughing whine from the old Toyota. She honked and thrusted her arm out the window, waving as she sped away. Brooke stood there waving back, watching the taillights disappear down the street until they finally vanished around the corner. Maddie's finger hovered over the send button. Could she really do it? She bit her lower lip and adjusted herself in bed. It's over. Those two simple words. But no, she couldn't bring herself, because deep down, a part of her still really liked Drake. With a sob, she turned off her phone and tossed it back on her nightstand. Then, she shot upright off her pink memory foam pillow. An idea had just struck her, and it was perfect. Literally perfect. Wiping the tears from her eyes, she slipped out of the covers and sat down at her desk in the dark, opening up her laptop. From there, she navigated to a fresh Word document and began typing. Oh yes, this was perfect indeed. Embarrassment wasn't enough. It never was. Sure, it was great for getting newbies into the candles. Jade couldn't count how many times she'd used one to knock somebody down a peg or teach them a lesson. The effects were usually immediate, but temporary things. And after a while, maybe a week or two of keeping their head down or deleting their socials, the victim always recovered, which was why humiliation was different. It sat with them while they stared at the ceiling at 3 a.m, wondering why everyone hated them. It replayed itself over and over until even the smallest social interaction felt like climbing Mount Everest. That was the difference. Embarrassment happens to you. Maybe a bad day or unlucky sequence of events, but humiliation? That was a whole different thing. Humiliation became an integrated part of your image and helped define who you were in the eyes of others. It had no end. Oh no, it lingered in the air like a bad bathroom odor, but unlike a scent, it never fully went away. Jade guided her car off the side of the road beneath a thick canopy of trees. Rain pattered softly against the windshield as she killed the engine. Satisfied she was alone, she reached into her backpack and retrieved an orange candle. A smile tugged at the corner of her mouth. Chloe deserved more than embarrassment. After everything she'd done to Brooke, embarrassment felt almost charitable. No way. Chloe deserved humiliation. The two curses fit together like two peas in a pod. One softened her up, while the other beat her over the head. Jade slipped another photo of Chloe into the candle and flicked her lighter, the wick catching immediately. Orange light danced across her face as she whispered, "Let's see how tough you are now, bitch." Thursday. Chloe Collins awoke expecting a perfect day. And why not? A day should resemble a person, she thought. And what better way to start it than a nutritious breakfast and an outfit that made the boys drool? Yet, as she got out of bed, she rounded a corner perhaps a bit too sharply, or perhaps she was still half asleep. Regardless of the reason, she stubbed her pinky toe in a baseboard with an agonizing thump. Not hard enough to break the bone, but hard enough to perform a one-footed hobbling dance around her bedroom. That would have been bad enough, but then her hair, normally so easy to work with in style, just wouldn't cooperate. She had tried everything, even soliciting the help of her mother, but nothing seemed to work. Utterly beside herself, she had to settle for a dumb-looking, comically large beret cap thing that her mother had bought from France while on vacation. It was a hideous shade of blue, and despite the fact it was as wide as a dinner plate and floppy, her hair kept poking out in all the wrong places. The fact that she looked about as smart as a goldfish didn't help matters. But then for her mother, always the fashionista, to say that she just had to match the beret with the rest of her outfit had sealed her to a fate worse than death. One hideous blue skirt suit later plucked straight from her mom's closet during the Reagan administration, complete with some ugly double-breasted jacket thing and a skirt that went down to her knees. Chloe stared at herself in the mirror in slack-jawed horror. The clique's dress code demanded a skirt and fancy top of some sort, so at least it filled that expectation. Chloe had promised herself she could fix it. Yet, as the clock rounded its hand from 7 to 7:30, then 7:45, Chloe realized she was stuck wearing this atrocious outfit all day long, lest she be late for school. As if this wasn't bad enough, as Chloe slid into her car, she jammed the key into the ignition and turned it over. Nothing, it wouldn't start. She sat in the driveway staring in disbelief. No, 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 no. The engine sputtered weakly again before dying with a pathetic clicking sound. The dashboard check engine light flashed once, then stayed on. "This is literally not happening to me," she shouted as she yanked the key out of the ignition, rammed it back in, and tried again. It wouldn't turn over. Chloe let out a scream so shrill it caused the birds to fly up from their rooftop perches. From inside the house, her mother leaned out the front door, holding a travel coffee mug, looking very posh in all black business attire. "Honey, did you leave your lights on overnight?" "I don't even know what that means," Chloe shouted back. Her mother checked her Rolex impatiently. "Well, I can't help you. Your father has a meeting in an hour, and I have a client in court today." As if on cue, her father pulled out of the garage. He rolled down the tinted window. "Call AAA."
"I'll be late."
He shrugged sympathetically in the detached way rich people did.
"Life happens, sweetheart. Love you."
Then he zipped down the street. Her mother followed moments later in her monstrous Escalade.
"Try the bus,"
she called before leaving her only daughter all alone. No, not just alone, but alone in an ugly blue 1980s outfit next to a dead, useless car. And to put a cherry on top of the crap sundae at 7:52 in the freaking morning. School started at 8:15. She'd never make it on time. This had to be a nightmare. Then an idea struck her. Clamoring in her purse, she snatched up her phone and dialed Maddie, who picked up on the third ring.
"Hello?" she said.
"Oh, thank God," Chloe gulped air, she explained.
"Maddie, my car literally just freaking died and my parents abandoned me. Like, I'm living in the Great Depression."
Maddie's voice came smooth and composed through the speaker.
"Do you even know what the Great Depression is?"
Chloe blinked.
"What? Are you even listening? I told you my car just died."
"That sounds horrible."
"It is horrible. You have no idea how horrible. I'm coming undone. Can you please come get me?"
A pause in the other end of the line. Then,
"No, sorry. Are you going to catch the bus?"
Chloe nearly dropped the phone.
"Maddie, don't even joke about that."
"What?
You cannot be serious."
"I'm just saying it's a viable transportation option.
I would rather die."
"Well, unfortunately," Maddie said, a laugh breaking up her sentence.
"I'm already at school."
Chloe blinked.
"Wait, what? You won't come get me?"
"I can't. I've been here since 7:30 for student council."
"Maddie, I'm sure you'll figure something out."
"Maddie, please."
"Sorry."
Then she hung up. She just hung up. Chloe stared at her phone in horror. Then, as if on cue, which this morning was doing a masterful job of, the squealing sound of bus brakes invaded her eardrums and made her bladder clench.
"No. No, 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 no."
Her gaze drifted slowly up the block as the bus loomed like some enormous yellow industrial nightmare. Chloe stepped out of her dead car and slammed the door harder than necessary before trudging toward the curb. For a moment, she considered stepping out in front of it and ending it all. As the bus approached, she squinted through the windows, examining what the damage might be. Immediate chaos. Three freshman boys were already engaged in what could only be described as hand-to-hand Vietnam-era combat. One launched his entire lunchbox. Another retaliated with what appeared to be a pencil bag.
"Oh my God,"
she muttered as the folding door screeched open. These boys acted like they were five. Squeezing her eyes shut and bearing the humiliation, she ascended each step, not easy in her high heels, and stood at the front of the aisle. Every eye stared at her. There had to be 40 kids on this bus. Some faces she recognized, some she didn't. She caught the gaze of Brooke Palmer slouched in the back with her AirPods in. The shock in her face must have been mirrored in Chloe's, because they stared at each other a long moment. Gritting her teeth, she began walking down the aisle. Then came the snickering. One sophomore girl whispered,
"Why is she dressed like an old French woman?"
Another boy said loud enough for the whole bus to hear,
"Bro thinks she's in Ratatouille."
Heat flooded Chloe's face so violently she thought she might actually pass out. So this was it. This was rock bottom. Another girl took out her phone, presumably filming. Chloe strutted down the aisle, trying to look suave. Her purse, a fancy designer bag that went perfectly with her outfit, dangled from the crook of her elbow. It didn't help. No one took her seriously as she desperately searched for an empty seat. Then she found one, but it made her want to die. Right by the obnoxious freshman boys. One spotted her approaching and scooted to the side to make room. He obviously knew who she was. While the two behind him elbowed each other, smirking.
Bruh, he whispered. She looks like my grandma.
The others exploded laughing as Chloe's soul left her body. Resigning herself to a slow, painful death, Chloe smoothed her skirt down with her hands and slid into the green vinyl seat, while the boys resumed their war around her. She kept her knees pinned together and drew in her shoulders. After all, even brushing against this geek would be tantamount to social suicide. For 30 glorious seconds, Chloe was spared as collateral. Then, heads up! Chloe turned just in time to see a chocolate milk carton spiraling through the air directly toward her face. She tried to turn, but her body was wedged from all angles, and all she could do was tilt her head to the side. And splat. The bottle burst against her shoulder as cold, sticky chocolate milk exploded across the sleeve of her jacket, splattering up her neck and dripping down the gold buttons in thick brown streaks. Laughter detonated around her from every direction. Oh my god! No way! Bro got sniped! The freshman who threw it looked absolutely horrified for half a second before collapsing into hysterics with his friends.
I didn't think it would open!
She stared in disbelief as milk soaked through her skirt, leaving a cold, sticky puddle where she sat. Chloe Collins began to suspect the universe might actually detest her. And that's the end of this part. I really hope you're enjoying the series so far. Let me know when you are. Let me know if you are in the comments below or wherever you can. I appreciate you for checking out this video and the channel. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so on Patreon or go buy yourself a Stories After Midnight t-shirt at shop.storiesaftermidnight.com. Either way, thank you for being here. Take care now. Bye-bye then.